Bethel, Shechem, Gilead. Now that's not an Old Testament pop quiz. That's just a listing of some very important places in the Bible, because every time the Hebrews met God at one of those hinge points in their lives, they tended to build altars. And these places were places where altars were built. The result of building those altars really went in two directions. That is, when the person met God at the hinge point of his life, and his life was changed and molded, he tended to look back to remember, and that memory was part of what he was commemorating and celebrating in the building of the altar and in the worship of God. At the same time, it was a looking forward, because if God has done something in our lives in the past, there's every opportunity and hope that he'll do something in our lives in the future. So there's a hope, there's an anticipation that the God who has met us in the past, confronted us, healed us, scolded us, led us on, will also be there to give guidance and strength and opportunities of service in the future. Today is a hinge point in the life of a number of our colleagues here. I found yesterday that 12% of my class this summer will attend their last class tomorrow. Now that's looking at it from the professor's standpoint. Some of them may already have finished up for all I know, but tomorrow's the last class in any event. So today is the final chapel service many of them will have the opportunity to attend as they finish their formal studies. I'd like to invite you today to join us in celebrating that hinge point for them. Join with us in building an altar. Let's remember and let's hope. Let's remember some of the events that have been shaping events, high points for us here in our time together. And let's anticipate what God may do with our lives in the future. There are three of us who are going to remember and hope publicly, but I hope privately each of you will be doing the very same thing. I hope that each of you will be bringing stones of memory and of anticipation to this altar so that we'll not only say Bethel and Shechem and Gilead, but Wake Forest. Let me begin. Because 3 years ago, tomorrow, I kind of pulled up stakes and started a new venture for myself. I resigned my job, I put my house on the market, and I started in this direction. It was with some uncertainty, I have to admit. You know, when I look at my pastoral background, I realize it's a bit of a checkered background. I didn't pastor big churches or lead the association in much of anything except uprisings. So, I wondered what I would be able to contribute to a place like Southeastern, a place where I saw quality work being done, serious work being done, a chance to shape people's lives. Well, I've now worked with my first generation of seminarians. Some of the people I came to this campus with have now graduated and are graduating. And I have to admit to you, there have been days when I wondered, just as I did when I was a pastor, if I'd gotten anything accomplished. You know, you slug it out, you keep all those appointments, you meet all those classes, you race home and write another lecture, just like those of you who are sitting there race home and do another paper. It's all the same business, just like doing sermons and things. And I've wondered if I made any difference. But then, every once in a while, something happens that causes me to build an altar. Recently, I got a letter that caused me to stop and build an altar. I want to read it for you. This fellow graduated just 2 months ago, and he says, "When I recognize and appreciate the contribution of all the faculty at Southwestern Seminary, I want to let you know what you have meant to me personally. It isn't possible for me to enumerate the many attributes I consider to be yours, nor to express the depth of my personal respect for you as a minister of Jesus Christ. The content of your courses and the way you approach ministry breathes life into seminary training. But more than your teaching, the fact that you accepted me as a person of worth at a time in my life when I could hardly believe in myself has left a gratitude within me that will be eternal. Somewhere out there, I know there's a ministry just made for me, And by God's grace and through the support and aid of persons like you, I am more confident than ever I will find that ministry. Whatever your desires for ministry may be, I pray God will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon you, blessed by you. Now, Will Rogers said one time, I can live 2 weeks on a good compliment. I think probably the theological response to this kind of touch is to stop and build an altar. And that's in effect what I did. It was a refreshing memory to realize that in those times when the work seemed heavy and humdrum and routine, God was breaking in and meeting me and others in this place. So I add to Bethel and Shechem and Gilead, Wake Forest. Standing at this altar today, I look forward and hope too. I don't have any idea what the future holds, but I hope there will be additional altars out there in the future. I hope in the classroom and on the printed page and across pulpits and in conversations in my office and on this campus and other places, God will break in and there will be chances in the future to build other altars and to worship God there. Two of our graduating classmates are going to come now and add some stones to the altar. They're each going to contribute a memory and a hope. You probably know Keith Taylor and Paul Joseph. They're going to come speak to us. And I hope you will join in remembering your own memories of this place and thinking about your own hopes for what God will do with you in the future.
As I stand here this morning, I wish that I had went with my initial reaction. So many professors have expressed a difficulty in participating in chapel. Yet my assignment this morning is not a difficult one, but an important and joyous one. Dr. Dale has asked me to screw down tightly, so to speak, on the altar that has been most significant for me. Two came to my mind very quickly as I was thinking along these lines. The first was the education that I have received here at Southeastern and that of relationships. But as I thought more and more along this line, the one of relationships seemed to stand out more clearly. I've had somewhat of a unique experience here as a student. I have completed the MDiv program in 2 years, or 25 months to be more exact. And at the same time, I've lived in the duplex apartments on Judson Drive. I've worked one summer for the town of Wake Forest and had an opportunity to get to know the town's people. And I've operated the switchboard at school. And of the things that I have done here and accomplished, I think this has been the most important and the most learning of all. In operating the switchboard, I've had the opportunity to get to know faculty, staff, and administration. And I've also had the opportunity of getting to know the new students as they would come in. And they'd come to see Dr. Sandusky and get his usual speech and information concerning the school. And then they would stand around the switchboard until he left to pick me to see if he had told them the truth. Another thing that has been important to me is watching the phenomenal growth that has occurred here in Wake Forest. Since I arrived, they have erected a new town hall, a Hardee's, and a chiropractor has come to town. The first thing that amazed me in arriving at Wake Forest is finding that two Exxon stations were located side by side. But since being here, my education has shown to me that it probably centers around the infallibility debate that is continuing. I came here from a Southern Baptist college, and this was helpful by bringing an established support group with me. The neighborhood on Judson was another support group that developed very quickly, and in the 2 years that I lived there, we never had a disagreement among the neighbors, and together we would celebrate the accomplishments of each other. And in times of need and sorrow, such as the passing of my twin brother, they were always there in the background, lifting us up and praying for us. This week has been spent eating final meals with former neighbors, and tonight I eat with a friend who we could share anything with. And when you went to the other one with the hurt, he did not counter with all his hurts, but merely listened and helped. In thinking of the element of sacrifice this morning, God has always provided the sacrifice. The altar and sacrifice in my situation have been provided by God. It was His initiative that has brought all this to pass. It's a good feeling to know that God's mercy and grace has followed us and aided in these friendships, living out the servant motif. The experience sometimes has cost much, and sometimes we like to flash the sacrifices that we have made. But in reading my devotions the other night, I was reading from Luke, the 17th chapter, concerning the parable of the servant. And verse 10 states that we are not much good as servants. We have merely done what we ought to do. The poet Blake expresses the experience of seminary and life when he encourages us to kiss the joy as it flies.
I could duplicate much of what you've already said, so I won't. But I'd like to center in just briefly on one of the most important things I think I got out of seminary training, and that was in Dr. Durham's Old Testament survey class. Now, many of you may want to differ with that, especially when you think about the exams. But in reference to what he presented to me, he brought the life of the Old Testament alive to me. When I came here, the New Testament was everything, and it's still the center of my ministry because it's Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament became a living book to me. It had the glory of God, the holiness of God just brought forth and what my ministry needs to be. Dr. Durham brought some fantastic messages within his lectures about the importance of giving my ministry totally to God for His glory. And it's with that thought that I'd like to sing the song, My Tribute, because I'd like to be able to say throughout my ministry, God, I give you the glory for what I've learned at Southeastern, for the work that I do in the churches as I go forward.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me, with His power is done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
The point of building an altar is to commemorate what he has done. I suppose there are times around here when we don't realize God is doing too much. Jerry Neiswanger and I were talking to a student who had been away from campus 18 months, came back, and he said the afternoon he arrived, he walked the campus, and he almost broke into tears in a number of places when he remembered what had happened on those spots in those classrooms. He hadn't thought about it, you know. It hadn't hit him so much while he was here, but when he returned, he realized he should have been building some altars. Jim Blackmore and I were talking not long ago about a student who came here in the associate program and knew how many altars he owed to this place. He was a man who had never been able to speak correctly. He had a speech impediment from birth. And his family was not able to provide the kind of medical attention, and so he learned to communicate with his parents and was able to get along in that kind of setting, but was never able to make any kind of speech or presentation any place because people couldn't understand him. He was very active in his church, and one day he became aware God was stirring in him, asking him to become a minister. And he thought it was a cruel hoax. You know, how can a man who cannot speak be a minister of Christ? So he communicated with his pastor as best he could about it. Together, they sought some medical attention and found the problem could be remedied surgically. He came here, started his associate program, the surgery was done, and the first time he ever preached was right here in this chapel. He realized, you know, an altar should be built. Now, a lot of times those things escape the broader community. We don't see them ourselves, even though the person to whom it happens realizes what a special time it is. So today, at the end of this term of summer school, if you realize you're at one of those hinge points, today is a day to stop and say, I remember the things that happened at places like Bethel and Shechem and Gilead, but I am most impressed by what has happened to me when I have met God in this place, and I'm most hopeful of what will happen when I meet him out there in the future. Let's pray together. Our Father, we have met you. We have known you in the past. We've built an altar and worshiped you here this day. Give us many other opportunities to meet you in the way face to face and stop and recognize you and build an altar, worship, celebrate, and move on to new altars. For Christ's sake.